Item 6B. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you all this morning. I'm going to give our wonderful technical assistant a moment to get the presentation up. So, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Melissa Cummins, Executive Director for the Siskiyou County Local Transportation Commission. This morning, go ahead and go to the next one. I'm here before you this morning to give you a brief introduction. Many of you serve on this commission, so this will be information you already are aware of. But part of our program is to go out and visit our different elected bodies to encourage communication back and forth between those bodies and the commission, and also provide information on the programs that we manage. And so that's kind of, I've been doing these presentations to some of our city councils recently. I have the rest here in the next month. So just a brief overview, the Local Transportation Commission is consists of elected officials from the Board of Supervisors and the city councils. The commission is responsible for transportation planning. So think of anything that's the movement of goods or people in the county. The Transportation Commission is responsible for the planning portion of that process. We act as a liaison between our local partners and state agencies on transportation-related projects. And on the next slide, when we get there, you'll see some of that work that we've been doing. And then we manage various programs or plans, and some of those we're going to highlight a little bit today for you. So some of our coordination activities on the state highway projects. Anytime there's a new state highway project that's starting here in the county, we are one of the partners that is at the table talking to the Caltrans staff, but also making sure that our local partners, such as County Public Works, the city representatives, any other stakeholder that has a should have a seat at the table, is engaged early on in that process so that we don't get too far along and then find out that we have missed someone. Local STIP projects, right now we are in the depths of the STIP process, and so part of our role is that we manage any amendments, extension requests that the agencies need to have, requests from the state, and then if there's additional funding. And that actually was something that came up recently where an agency came to me and said, we're short $150,000. Personally, we don't have $150,000, so how do we make this project work? And talking with them and trying to figure out different resources for them to use on those projects. We just recently set up monthly meetings with Caltrans Division of Local Assistance, and that's myself and the Local Assistance Acting Deputy Director, I believe is her title, to where we can talk about upcoming STIP projects, are the local agencies on target to put in their allocation requests on time. And so that's something we're really hoping that will be productive and kind of help move our projects along and ultimately get to completion at the end. Monitoring grant opportunities, this is something that has been massive in the last 6 months. There is so much money out there for transportation right now. It seems like every day I'm getting a new email about some sort of funding for a transportation-related project. And so we're making sure that that information is getting out to the local agencies. We're also talking with the local agencies and hearing their concerns so that as those opportunities are presenting themselves, we can look at partnerships and figuring out what can we do from the commission's perspective in conjunction with our local agencies to potentially bring more funding to the county. So the DOT grants are big ones. Those are very, very technical, and so that's something I feel like we would need to definitely partner on if we were to go after those funds. And then I've already mentioned the partnering opportunities. And then lastly, the transportation stakeholder engagement. We are actively involved with the Rural Counties Task Force, North State Super Region, the Rural Transportation Planning Agencies Group, and then California Transportation Commission and Caltrans. And some of the other coordination activities that I didn't include on the slide, recently I had an opportunity to go meet with every one of our local agencies. And so for the entire board's information, we have 10 local agencies that we work with. So that's the 9 incorporated cities and the county road department. And so we met with each one of those agencies and we talked about zero emissions, what infrastructure do they have? Have they thought about a plan? Do they have any existing infrastructure? We talked about concerns that they have specific to their region and ways that we could potentially partner together on those. And we actually have one project at the end that we'll talk a little bit more about. And so then also the commission is responsible or that point of contact for the state. So any transportation funding, if there's an issue with a local agency, they usually reach out to us and then they're like, who do we talk to? And so some of our local agencies, the city specifically, have had some turnover recently. And so the state reached out to me and said, they're not in compliance, who do we talk to? And so we were able to connect them, get an extension request. And so that's been super helpful for our local representatives. So this slide just summarizes some of the programs that we currently have. The Regional Surface Transportation Block Grant is an annual allocation that is actually federal funds that the commission exchanges for state funds. Those funds can be used for road projects, and that could be sidewalks, pavement, all sorts of anything related to the road or the traveling roadway. So that's about $100,000 annually. Over the last decade, the commission has allocated $1.1 million to the local agencies. And I did look yesterday in preparation for the meeting this morning, and we have 10 agencies that are eligible for that funding, and we have 7 that have actually taken advantage of the funding over the last decade. So pretty good percentage. So I want to encourage, if the county has not taken advantage of that, that they are eligible. And so that's something that we will be bringing back to the commission later this summer, hopefully, for another allocation. Overall work program, that's our federal planning dollars that the commission gets to pay for staff to do the planning functions that we do on a day-to-day basis. It requires an annual adoption of a program of projects, and so we're actually in the process of developing next year's program right now. And then some other funds under the commission's jurisdiction, state transit assistance, specifically for transit operations. We have one transit operator in the county, so that primarily goes to Stage. The local transportation funds are funds that can be used for Stage to provide operational assistance, and then also streets and roads. And then state of good repair and low carbon transit operations programs are primarily transit focused. State of good repair is basically money to upgrade or rehabilitate existing infrastructure such as buses, or the low carbon transit operations program is actually something that's designed to reduce greenhouse gases, get folks out of their single occupancy vehicles. And this actually, as I was reading the guidelines yesterday, brought up some conversation we were having at our last commission meeting about an opportunity for grant funding to help promote a program. So lastly, SB 125, that is a new program that gave the county $5.6 million. It's one-time money over a four-year period of time, all focused for transit. And so we actually put in a program of projects for consideration to the state. We're still waiting to hear if our projects are going to be approved, and then we'll obviously provide more information when we find out later. The second to last bullet, carpet reduction program. This is an interesting one. On a recent Caltrans, it was the Regional Planning Agency's call, and they were talking about CRP, and so I started doing some research, and this is new money that was not in our, you know, we weren't aware of it at the time. And it actually, we have about $418,000 over a four-year period that will pay for carbon reduction program. And so we have had this money since 2022, I think it was. And so so that's something that I'm digging into a little bit more, figuring out what the requirements are. There is some federal match requirements on that one. So that's something that the commission will be looking at in the future. And then lastly, the Regional Transportation Improvement Program, which we're going to talk a little bit more about on the next slide. So we call it the RTIP. So the RTIP is primarily funding for streets and roads projects. It is for projects that must be nominated by the local agency. And I stress that because we're going to show you here in just a second a disclaimer that we have. The commission is responsible for adopting the program every 2 years on the odd number year. And the CTC adopts the program, which is the full state transportation improvement program, on the even number of years. So the commission adopted the 2024 RTIP in December of 2023. We are currently in the waiting process to see if our RTIP will be accepted as proposed. If you go down to the very bottom of that, and I actually have my little planner thing down here, the 2024 RTIP provided the county as a whole 6.8 million shares. Shares are equivalent to dollars. And so when we did our last call for projects this last fall, you'll see right here, there's something in my way, $20 million was the total requested by all of our agencies collectively. Pretty good shortfall. That's not uncommon, unfortunately. But so we were able to, in the 2024 RTIP, we were able to include funding for 20 local road improvement projects from all over the county. And then I did want to mention, and this is actually new information for my commissioners as well, is the North STIP hearing was held on January 24th, and the statewide STIP is potentially over programs, or over target, so down here, $68 million, right there, it doesn't like, So the initial reports is that the statewide target was over-programmed by $68 million. Our RTIP was under target by 30,000, and we have always been under target. So I'm hopeful with that they won't require us to delete things, but time will tell. So the next steps in the process is the CTC SAF recommendations are due to be released by March 1st, and so we're waiting anxiously to see if we will have any requests to remove projects, and then CTC will adopt the full program at the state level at the end of March. And if you have questions, please stop. Okay, next slide. So specifically to the county's projects, Siskiyou County Public Works has two projects that were included. The first project is an existing project, which was Jackson Ranch Road. In the last RTIP, the funding is always update inflationary costs for programmed projects, and then we add new projects. And so Jackson Ranch Road being an existing project, they needed additional funding to actually complete that project. So we did increase their proposed funding by about $2 million. And then we also added a new project, which is the Big Springs Road Phase 2 project, the environmental and design phases only. The construction costs were rather large, and so we have worked with the local agency and asked them to try to seek grant funding to help pay for that construction when the time comes. And then, let's see if my thing works. Okay, so I have a little thing for you. We'll see if this works. So this is actually a little demo. We actually, during the development process, the commission is required to make the information publicly available. And so on the commission's Facebook page, and this is actually a video so folks can see. So on the Local Transportation Commission page of the county website, we have a link to the RTIP and STIP information. And so if you click on that little sidebar thing, it brings up a summary of what the RTIP STIP is. And then you'll see in the center there, there is a little map, and then the full documents are at the bottom, some light reading at only 190 pages roughly, but then going back up, there is a link to an actual interactive map, which is right there. And I do want to give kudos to the county's GIS coordinator. He did an amazing job developing this map for us, and we do expect to keep it current and show completed projects in the future. So one of the concerns with having the interactive map and this information out there is we don't want residents to think that this is a guarantee. So if you look at the information and it says the project's going to construct next year, it may not. So the disclaimer basically says these projects are at the priority of the local agency, so that could be the city or the county. It may say that they're going to be programmed and constructed in a certain year, and that may change due to other issues going on. So we added a disclaimer on the little window that pops up, and then should go down to the, I had to slow the video down a little bit because it was a little too fast the other night. There it goes. Okay, so then you click on the OK button, and then if you go in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little thing that looks like a book. You can click on that, and it drops down the list of all of the agencies. And so if you wanted to specifically look at the county's information, you could click on Siskiyou County Public Works. It will zoom into the projects that are currently programmed. And so the little black and white or black and yellow line actually shows the scope of the project. From there, you can click on that line. It brings up a box that gives you the information. And then when you scroll down on the right-hand side there, there's a link to actually view the project programming request form that has all of the details, the agency that's sponsoring the project, the areas, all of the information that has basically been submitted to the state. Okay. You can go ahead and click to the next one. Okay, so then the next project I wanted to talk about is our pavement management system. So StreetSaver is a cloud-based service that the commission pays for. We currently provide the licensing for all 10 agencies in the county, so it's about $26,000 a year that the commission sponsors. The original project was done in 2015, and then we've had subsequent updates in 2017 and 2019. Last December, the commission awarded another contract for the next three-year project, which is about $200,000. And I want to stress that this is all commission funds. This is not coming out of the money that is for other projects. So for the county specifically, my chart there shows you the different road districts, the last time that district was updated, and then the next update. And so that is important to note. And we have been working with Mr. Deeney and his staff. We have District 4 and District 6 that are scheduled for updates this spring. And so we'll continue to work with them in getting information and go ahead and go to the next one if you would. So this kind of gives you a synopsis of the county's roads specifically. This is data pulled straight out of StreetSaver. So the county has 4.08 square miles of paved area and about 1,400 sections. Collectively in the county, we have just over 2,700 sections of roadways that is maintained in the system. So, and then you can see on the left, the current PCI, we're averaging right about 46. And then the center graph shows you the percent of area by condition. And then on the right graph, it shows you the remaining service life. I do want to note that this information is only based on the last update that was done. And so in the last slide, it says that the last information was updated in between 2015, 17, and 19. So it's only as good as the data that was in there. And so we're working on getting maintenance information from Mr. Deeney's office that of stuff that's been updated since then, and we're working on that for this next round. So, next. So, what does that mean to residents and the constituents? They will see this vehicle traveling around the county. And so this is actually a picture of the updated vehicle that we've just received. So this vehicle will be traveling around, driving on all the paved roads throughout the county over the next 3 years. And it has a lot of equipment, and it looks really interesting and technical. And so we want residents to know that they are out there for a reason, that this is a project. They're just gathering pavement information. And so if they have any concerns, they will be referred to the agency where the work is being conducted at the time. And then we will work with those agencies to get information from the consultant back to the residents. And then second to last, is our active transportation plan. So go ahead and go to the next slide. So the active transportation plan, it is a regional plan, so it encompasses the entire county. The project team is the Commission, Alta Planning and Design, and then Siskiyou Outdoor Recreation Alliance. What we're hoping to achieve is that we would focus on identifying opportunities to improve pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure. And so it has a list of things on there. The project kicked off in November. We're currently in phase one of the project, which is gathering information. Requests went out to all of our local partners in December to provide if you have active transportation plans or other policies that dictate how those components are added into a project. And so right now we are hoping to have the existing conditions analysis completed by the end of this month for a technical advisory committee meeting. And then go ahead and go to the next slide. So right now this is our list of engagement strategies. And this actually, for commissioners, you will see this hopefully at the end of the month. So this is our list of engagement strategies. So we have our technical advisory committee. We are currently in the process of accepting the surveys, which you'll see here in a moment. We have open houses scheduled, and part of my reasons for coming out and doing this presentation is to kind of help with that process. We have a list of key partners, school districts, local agencies, community-based groups. We are asking every city council, do you have a specific key partner in your area that you think we should engage with? We'd suggested the Weed Rotary group. And then we have the webpage and social media that is also being utilized to reach out to residents. So on the right-hand side there, the 8 community events, this is our tentative list of events that the consultant will be attending. So we kind of looked at different areas, talked with the local agencies about where do they think we would get the best bang for spending the dollars and having the consultant. And so those were the list from the local agencies that we have comprised for our public outreach, and those will start this spring. And then lastly, we will be doing walk audits of the 9 incorporated cities and 1 unincorporated area, and I believe we have decided on Lake Shasta as our unincorporated area at this point. And so the dates for those were just recently set for the week of April 29th through May 3rd. So the consultant will go out and actually walk each of the towns and identify needs in those communities based on that.
Why isn't the fair on that list?
Because that's a week-long event, and we felt like the consultant was concerned that that would be very costly and not within our budget, because you have to have somebody at the booth for the entire time of the fair.
Right, understood, but there's also a high volume of people from all over the county that are coming through there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. we could reevaluate it. Those are just the tentative right now. Mm-hmm. So, and I think there was a conflict as well with SORA, because SORA is the one that is going to be attending those events. I think there was a Viking event or something that same weekend, so that was a conflict as well. But we can definitely look at that again.
Supervisor Kyle.
In order, just a suggestion, in order to maybe reach out to the western part of the county, maybe consider the Bigfoot Jamboree at the
camp. Okay.
I believe it's in September.
Okay.
You did say you were going to reach out to all the city councils, because I think a presentation for each city council is going to
yes.
be, because those are going to be the ones that are probably most likely to give input. I don't see our constituents. I'll use the fair as an example. We don't get a lot of South County people who go to the county fair, although I do believe every avenue should be explored.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we might get a higher response from decision makers at the city council level.
Yeah, we are. I've been to Reed, Dunsmuir, and Aetna so far. I was supposed to hit Doris last night, but because of the forecast, and they didn't have a quorum. But so, yes, I'm hitting all of the city council meetings, and we're also looking, I'm going to Lola tomorrow night. So we're definitely trying to really get the word out there.
And perhaps the Planning Commission meetings if they have.
Oh, yes, I came to Planning Commission, actually. Miss Lang was back there, so. Yes, I did hit Planning Commission as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so then we have a, the next slide should be. Okay, so this is actually, I just wanted to do a quick demo on the survey, because we've gotten some feedback that the adding the comments has been a little challenging. So on the Commission's Facebook page, again, on the county website, there is a link on the left-hand side that says Regional Active Transportation Plan, and you can click on that, and then it gives the all of the information that we just kind of covered about how residents can get engaged in the project, and then the links to the surveys are also on that particular page as well. Down there, and we do have the survey in English and Spanish based on the limited English proficiency information that we receive. And so when you click on the link, it brings up the survey, and these are very standard. You've probably taken lots of these types of surveys. You click little bullets, put in your options, and then the one thing I wanted to highlight, so there's different options, obviously, you can select those as well. On question number 8, this is where you can actually put in recommendations for improvements that you would like to see in your community. And so if you click on the open map button down there in that lower right-hand corner, it actually makes the map big. And the easiest way I figured out is to go to this little bullet thing right here, click on that and say zoom to fit. And that brings the county into one view. And then all of the purple areas are the incorporated cities. And so you can use your mouse to basically zoom in. You'll see the other little round things are actually other comments that other survey responders have added to the map already. And some of them you can see their names and some of them you can't. So if you zoom in on a specific community, and I think I did Grenada for this example, to add the comment, you can go up to the top there, click on that comment button, and then it gives you a little black cursor. You place that at the location that you want to add a suggestion, type in what your suggestion is. Needs crosswalks, needs a flashing beacon, needs a stop sign, needs sidewalks, all sorts of fun stuff. And then you click the post button, and it will actually save your comment. To get back to the survey, you just close out that window and go back and then scroll down, finish your questions, and hit submit. Okay, and you can go ahead and go to the next one for me. There you go. Okay. So we talked about existing conditions as expected later this month. The commission will also be receiving that information at the April LTC meeting. If there are other policies or suggestions on data that we should be including, please let me know. We're asking for folks to help us promote the survey. Actually, the county PIO has already been doing that, so I appreciate Allie's assistance with that. And then the open house and walk edits will be coming in April. And then there's the link to the full project page in case anybody missed that. And so looking to the future, what do we have coming our way? The Regional Transportation Plan, which is a 20-year planning document, is due to be updated, and so we will be starting that process in the late summer, early fall of this year. That requires input from all of our local agencies because it includes airports, it includes transit, it includes streets and roads, and it includes active transportation. So that's something I've already had that conversation with all of our representatives, kind of giving them that, be prepared, start thinking about what you want to put in the plan when it comes. And then, as we all know, zero emissions is a big thing now, and so we're looking at what we can do to help move that along in some regard. SB 125, that is the state program that we talked about, $5.6 million, and so if we get the funding, side note on that one, I did hear at the CTC meeting that as of right now with the budget woes of the state, the only thing that they're saying is that the funding may be delayed 1 year, but it's not being removed. So time will tell. And then lastly, we did, based on the feedback we received from our local agency partners, we heard that there was a need for an evacuation and preparedness plan. And so it is focused on transportation infrastructure, but we did submit an application for the Sustainable Transportation Planning Grant Program through Caltrans for about $280,000 for a countywide evacuation and preparedness plan. And so if we are funded, that will again be something that we will be working with all of our local partners. And that was done in conjunction with Mr. Shinomi from OES. So stay tuned for more on that. And that's it.
Questions? Supervisor Chris.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. In regards to this, for the in your role you have now and the ability to acquire grants or to notify, you have all these, you know, these city councils that are short, all these cities that are short of staff as it is. I see this as a benefit for all the cities. A link for information from the state, a way of us communicating city needs to the state. I think there's some of those, you know, we have people, it's a benefit to the rural cities that just don't have staff.
Correct.
To pull that stuff off. As I think about that, when I was here, you also have like some community service districts that I call city counties or county cities. Mm-hmm. And so I know we've talked about McLeod for the evacuation plan, in case something happens down there for mass evacuation. Are you going to do any outreach to the community service districts?
Yes, mm-hmm. I actually talked with Mr. Mullins from McLeod about coming and talking to the CSD there. Perfect. And I'm trying to get all the cities scheduled, and then I'm hoping to finish up with those presentations in early April. So I need to reach out to Lake Shasta, and I believe we also have that work.
Great. And then also linking into other things, we have like the volcanic lake, as you've seen it by is there any potential linking into working then there?
We haven't really talked about that much, but we can definitely look into that a little bit further.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well. Anyone else? Professor Howe?
We have a couple. So on the one slide that we have the two county projects on there, what's the time plan for posting on there? I mean, what's the horizon?
When they're going to be constructed?
Yeah. What? No. As far as, is there a submittal date for new projects to go on there, or how's that work?
Yeah. So that RTIP, Regional Transportation Improvement Program, is a 2-year cycle. So every 2 years, we come back, we evaluate the projects that were programmed in the previous cycle, and then the agencies are all asked to submit new projects. And so in 2 years, 2025, we will be going back out to all of the local agencies and saying, send us your next list of projects. And then the Technical Advisory Committee, which is a subcommittee of the commission, actually reviews proposed programming as far as how are we going to, you know, fit projects into that programming request. So every 2 years is essentially the answer to your question.
Do you have like a 10-year list or something?
I'm sure he does.
Yes, we do.
Okay,
yes.
I know it's in Supervisor Chris's district, but I'm particularly interested from an industry standpoint, Tanner Road. Because of its current condition, I mean, you have to be a kangaroo to stay on that road.
Of which one?
The Tennant Road.
Oh, yes. Well, and we've actually, Mr. Heaney's staff and I have talked about some other grant opportunities for that particular road.
Okay.
And so, and that's where having these conversations and me being aware of some of the needs, I'm able to, when things come up, it's like, oh, yeah, let's look at this project. So, And the regional transportation plan also, and that's another key component of why it's important for our agencies to start thinking about their project list now, is in order to qualify for a lot of these grants and the funding sources from the state, they have to be in the regional transportation plan. It's an easy process to amend it and add it later if we had to, but if they can start thinking about those things now so that when we prepare those lists, we can make sure they're in there.
Okay. I had two other quick questions. One, is there a status update on the Fort Jones pavement? project with Calpin.
Yes, we just had a project development meeting. I'm going to look to Ms. Lowe in the back row because it was a couple weeks ago. We had a project team meeting a couple weeks ago with myself, the city or the town of Fort Jones staff, Caltrans, so it was everybody that's involved in the project. So that was just a couple weeks ago. So we're early on in the design process right now, and so I don't think we have another meeting scheduled for that project, but we can confirm that and let you know, though.
Yeah, when will we see approved plans disclosed to the public?
If, I don't want to put you on the spot, Catherine, but do you know when we would have?
Yeah, so it's very early planning right now.
Here, why don't you come up here and start coming up.
I'm only asking because the primary audience for all the conversations have been several businesses basically in Fort Jones, but it's quite the topic in Scott Valley.
Correct. Right? Right. So it's your name and your title.
I'm Catherine Lowe, project manager for Siskiyou County. Thank you for having me again. Fort Jones project is part of our 2026 program, which means we're in the early planning stages, and that's why we're having meetings like we did a couple weeks ago with the city officials and understanding what their expectations are and what their concerns are, and then our team is hearing that and understanding what are we able to incorporate into the project. So that's how early we are. I heard you say final plans. That would be after the project is programmed. And so, again, that would be after 2026, and I'm not sure what the schedule is going to look like at this time.
And do you anticipate having a more general public meeting in Scott Valley? Other than just the city council?
So when you say Scott Valley, I'm not totally familiar, because I'm just thinking about Fort Jones. Is that separate?
Are you thinking that a public meeting for all of Scott Valley to comment on it? So there is a plan to have a public meeting in Fort Jones.
Anybody in Scott Valley uses Highway 3 that goes to Fort Jones.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So there is plans to have public meetings in Fort Jones related to the project.
Okay.
So anybody from the valley would be able to attend.
All right.
And we can make sure you get that information.
Yeah, just make sure. I don't know how we publish things in Scott Valley, but you know, maybe flyers at the grocery stores or something.
Oh yeah, they have a whole public outreach plan that includes a lot of different venues. So.
I appreciate that. And then my final question. Back in, I think in 2017, the governor had an executive order to have Caltrans work on hazardous fuels within their rights of ways. And I don't know if that even falls underneath what you review, but there was quite a mandate and a big expenditure for Caltrans to clean up their right-of-ways. And quite frankly, I haven't seen any work. And I know Caltrans was a significant partner that was pretty active with the governor's task force and still is. And I'm just, what's going on?
I've seen it down I-5. Asked Ms. Cummings to do a project that's right there, 89 I-5. Remember the STIP project that we were, that was the original cause. Supervisor Erickson, they had a near accident there, so it was clearing up. They've done a lot of work.
Yeah.
If you go out 89, Supervisor Chris, you've probably seen going up to McLeod. They are actively working on that. That came up in a fire resiliency meeting about those kind of things.
I guess I'm more looking toward what fit into some strategic fuel breaks that the county was working on, that I know the task force has in front of them with Caltrans, that includes both Highway 96 and Highway 3.
I know one of the things I've been a proponent of is whenever they do a construction project that they incorporate the clearing along that right-of-way, this is going to be shutting down. And again, I think I'm going to use the project that's going on in Mount Shasta. That's been happening, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I do because I see it in I-5.
You see it in your
district.
And
yeah.
To your point, Supervisor Howe, one of the components of that evacuation and preparedness plan is not only identifying evacuation routes, but also identifying fuel breaks that need to occur to make sure that those designated evacuation routes are safe when the time comes and residents need to get out. So, but I'll follow up with you on that and see if I can get some additional information on any progress that's been made.
I was at the table when that was I just have not seen the implementation in Weston part of the county where a lot of our fires are taking place.
I'll follow up with you on that and see if we can get some answers.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I just want to follow up on Tenant Road. There's some good news coming down the road.
Good.
I do have one more thing.
Yeah,
this is really more for Tom Dean at just the road department. You know, but we did, you did pavement management. We have a very low number. You know, back of the envelope, somewhere down the line, I'd like to, you know, where, what it would take to get us up to a higher standard, if you will. Because we are, it's a lot of deferred maintenance that happened over the years. That amount of money we won't have. But, you know, where are we? Because I think people need to be cognizant of, yeah, we need to fix a pothole, but we need to rebuild a lot of roads in this.
And to that point, Supervisor Valenzuela, when you look at our different agencies and what their numbers are, we're seeing that across the board.
Right, we're not
And that data is actually used by NCE, which is our consultant for the pavement management system. Mm-hmm. They are also working on the CTC statewide needs assessment, and so they're able to pull our data to demonstrate to the state that there's a lot of roads that need a lot of work here. Mm-hmm. So,
just to, I guess, a question with regard to where is the funding for STIP and RTIP? Where is it derived from?
That comes from, thank you for the question. Let me again. It's actually it is formula based from.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I try to think of all the questions you guys are.
Because I think it's a gas tax in some form, is that correct?
I believe so. Per the STIP fund estimate, the primary source of funding for the STIP is a portion of the incremental excise tax on gasoline. And part of the research, because that question was asked the other night by one of the council members from Dunsmuir, and reading it, the concern is the gas, they're pushing us towards zero emissions, so the gas tax revenue is coming down, and how are we going to backfill the gap
right. And
backfill the funding that Mr. Dean is going to need to repair roads?
Right. No, I agree. And I think just even for the press, a lot of constituents think that I pay property tax and that's for my roads, and that does not occur. It's all based on, secure rural schools funding, partially, and excise tax, which is gasoline. For whatever that's worth, that's how our roads get fixed.
Well, if I could, just one of the issues with road maintenance and deferred maintenance, all that, is that funding is going down compared to inflation. All the costs are going up. Mm-hmm. Higher mileage vehicles, I'll use my wife's car that we just replaced, and it gets a lot better gas mileage. Zero emission vehicles and all the pushback from the rural counties that don't want us to pay for per mile second, that's a big discussion that has to happen. How are we going to maintain these roads? Right? And so there's there's more to come on that front.
Well, and you make a really important point, because when we were doing the RTIP development this year, as I mentioned, the existing projects get first priority for the new dollars that are available. So when we went to the agencies and we said, here's your existing projects, adjust them for what you think they're going to cost you to build in this year, that was nearly $3 million. Mm-hmm. So right off the top, $3 million out of $6 million is gone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're hearing it from, like, over in the Valley and even in Tule Lake, they said, you know, we get one contractor to bid on our projects. They're basically stuck with whatever that contractor proposes. And so there's definitely some challenges there and not enough money to do what we need to do. So we'll keep looking for more.
Understood. And the mileage factor, I mean, it should be tacked on to the zero emissions, the EVs. I mean, that's the only way that they all pay their fair share, because gasoline's already paying for it. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Lindy, you okay? Move on?
Let's get through the Caltrans and then take a break.
Okay, we're going to move on to 7A, County Administration.
Good morning, Chairman Hopsett, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today is an item pertaining to a Kurok Tribe Award for the Happy Camp Complete Streets Project. And part of that process is entering into negotiations with Caltrans as an aspect of some of the facets of this project for maintenance. And so with that, I have today Melissa Cummins, our Local Transportation Commission Executive Director, to give us a macro level of this project. And then following Ms. Cummins, we'll have Mr. Tom Deeney, who's the Director of Public Works, who will give us a micro level of what this maintenance agreement is pertaining to, and then seeking the board's direction as to the avenue in which we choose to go down. So with that, I will bring Ms. Cummins back up.
Good morning again. Melissa Cummins, Executive Director for the Local Transportation Commission. So you were provided some information in your packet, but to kind of, for discussion purposes, so the Karuk Tribe in March of 2021 was awarded a $9.97 million grant from the California Transportation Commission's Active Transportation Program Cycle 5. And so that project includes the additions of sidewalks, lighting, pedestrian improvements, transit stops, whole array of things, right? So the work on this project began in 2011 and continued until 2020. That also included multiple public outreach events over the course of that decade time frame. The most recent event, which I attended in Happy Camp in October 23, Caltrans received the same comments. They want reduced traffic through town, they want improved drainage, improved pedestrian and cyclist safety, and lighting, crosswalks, and signage. And so those are all the main components of the project that was approved. I did want to note that any changes to the approved project would require Caltrans and the tribe to go back to the CTC for approval. So, essentially, to meet the project obligations, Caltrans is requesting, seeking two maintenance agreements. The first is a project-specific maintenance agreement that would cover pedestrian lighting, the electrical cost, landscaping, and irrigation. And those items would be at the cost of the agency and local agency. And I'll just use Public Works because that's the conversation we're having this morning. The second agreement would be a delegated maintenance agreement, and that would be for street and gutter sweeping and sidewalk maintenance. The local agency would be compensated by Caltrans for that work up to 100%. And so based on whatever estimates the local agency provides, they would get waivers up to that predetermined amount. I did want to mention for discussion purposes that when I was first approached by Caltrans on this project, I asked that we look at other alternatives because I was aware that Mr. Deeney's staffing has been like many other county departments. They're low on staffing, and so that's a concern. And so one of the things we asked is, are there other agencies that we could potentially contract with if the work was reimbursed at 100%? We even looked at the commission potentially administering the contract.
When you say the commission?
The Transportation Commission. Okay. I have said, well, what if we were to contract with a contractor to provide the services? When we dug into a little bit further and found that the work is not 100% reimbursable, the commission's funds are restricted in their use, and so that is not an option for us at this point. We were trying to think outside the box. And so then the other question I asked is about the Karuk Tribe and if Caltrans could contract with the tribe to maintain it. And unfortunately, state legislation right now does not allow for Caltrans to contract with the tribe to perform the services. So I wanted you to have that information. I did ask Caltrans, there's four of them in the back row back here, to be here this morning in case the board has any specific questions regarding the maintenance agreement. That concludes my comments, and I will turn it over to Mr. Deeney.
Good morning.
Good morning, board. Tom Deeney, Director of Public Works. So, I was given these maintenance agreements several months ago and declined to sign, and that's one of the reasons why we're here today. We're going to need some more guidance on that. I have a few things that I'd like you to consider before you make your decision. The costs of lighting would be relatively minor, and that's not really the concern. The biggest thing when I was researching this project, trying to figure out what the maintenance cost would be on a linear foot or square foot of sidewalk, so I couldn't find any. All of the articles that I could find on the internet were talking about how counties and cities are trying to get out of maintenance agreements with sidewalks because it opens you up to slip and fall liability in that area. So I made an appointment with Mr. Matt Bray, who's the Director of Public Works for Wairika, and I met with him, and he strongly suggested that we do not enter into these contracts for the liability issues alone. There will be an accident on the state highway down there in Happy Camp. Statistically, it's inevitable, right? If that accident happens at night and we're in charge of maintaining the lights there, that opens us up to risk that we're not exposed to currently. and we're not exposed to it because it's a state highway, it's not a county road. This project was entered, started without consultation to the county, right? It was an agreement between the tribe and Caltrans, and now they're seeking us to maintain a project that's not in our right way. So that's all I have. The final issue that I have, Melissa did touch on it, is staffing. The Happy Camp District is the second hardest district to staff for that I have. I have a guy sick right now out in Happy Camp, which means if I have a pothole that needs to be filled or a gutter to be pulled, I'm having to dispatch folks from the valley to go get it done. It's logistically, it's going to be a tough thing to handle. If the board directs me to do it, I'll make it happen. That's all I have.
Quick question, I guess. Whose right-of-way is it?
It's the state right-of-way. It's on the state highway.
And so why is the state asking the county to take this on when it's their right-of-way?
That's an excellent question, sir.
I mean, I get the project. It's a great project, but it's a state highway.
That's correct. We would have to grant encroachment permits to Caltrans from where they would touch our streets, but the bulk of this project is not a county project, it's a state project.
Anyone else going to present, or we're open for questions now? Okay, so bring it back to the board. Supervisor Howe, anything?
I love the project. The project's great, and it's been long overdue because it's quite dangerous for particularly elderly people crossing back and forth between businesses and the crew housing in Highway 96, and as well as between the businesses on both sides of the street in the main part of town. With that said, I don't want to take on the state's liability. And I see what the state's trying to do, but then again, they're going to turn around and do this with the paving project in Fort Jones, too. I don't know why we'd want to do that. I guess negotiations, you're asking for, yeah, we can talk, but it's not going to lead to me supporting the county spending funds to take on slip and fall liability as well as the maintenance down there because we're not staffed to do it. And Caltrans is, or needs to be. I mean, I'm just thinking in my head, how many projects is Caltrans going to build on their right of way and then transfer their liability to the county? I mean, that's just not right. That's what I see. I want to
I can just follow up on that real quick. How did this city of Wairika handle what's coming through here? I mean, did the city assume maintenance of what? On this project, do you know?
The city does not own any sidewalks. The sidewalks are owned by businesses adjacent. That Matt said it was a long and arduous negotiation process with Caltrans on this project. And he wishes that he would not have entered negotiations, was his comment.
Okay. Go ahead, sorry.
I just had one other comment. In the packet that was provided to us in the consent letter, there was a hyperlink to the map. It doesn't work. Just for disclosure, I'd like to see the map.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
I think the only comment, I'm just curious if this has happened anywhere else, that Caltrans has been able to get an agreement made, and, what if Caltrans would say we'll take on the liability risk? I don't know. I do know that Siskiyou County itself, we're not taking any more roads into the system. We can't maintain what we have, and just our capacity, I think, is very limited when it comes to this kind of thing. So, to support that.
Excuse me, yes, sir, I agree. But if Caltrans is willing to take on all the liability, then we wouldn't have.
Exactly. It's a rhetorical question.
Understood.
Supervisor Ogden.
First, I'd like to see what the project looks like. I haven't had a chance to see what we're doing there. I mean, I'm trying to know it because I know the area. I'd like to really dig into the details of it, but I agree with what everybody said. I don't think that's wise on our part take that on. We don't have the capacity. Hyphen Camp's a long way away. We don't have the money. We don't have the people. And to take on that liability is not in our best interest. As much as I'd like to be able to work hand in hand with Caltrans, this doesn't seem to be the best decision in our interest.
Chris?
I think it's fair to say we worked, when was this a grant that originally applied for? Was it 2014, 15?
Well before my time at the county. Yeah.
And the county wasn't really involved in the application process for it.
That's correct.
I love the idea of one-time funding to make this improvement. It's the long-term maintenance funding. And then the liability, and when we look at all the communities, there's a lot of unincorporated towns and cities that would benefit from when we would drain the county coffers for something nice. We want to dedicate that towards essential services.
Does Caltrans want to comment? I guess my question is that how do you award a grant without, I guess, cinching down the details long term?
Good morning. Got a little bit of a congestion in my lungs, so I'm a little grovelly, but I am Mike Mogan, and that's M-O-G-E-N.
Thank you.
I am the acting division maintenance chief for Caltrans in Reading. this does happen a lot where we initiate like a grant like this, and typically we do reach out to the county, and I'm hoping that happened. I don't know if it did on this one. To let you know that we are going to be asking you to enter into a maintenance agreement and possibly a delegated maintenance agreement. It's kind of standard practice for us. We have these agreements with other cities in our district, Susanville, City of Reading, Alturas, and also Wairika. I get what you're saying. You know, these elements are in our right of way, and I could see how you're like, well, we are building it in your right of way. How come you're asking us to maintain it? So with our delegated maintenance agreements, we're going to reimburse you for the work, right? So sidewalks are typically delegated maintenance agreements. And really the what's in it for you is that you're here, you live here, you're able to respond a lot quicker than we are to fix problems with the sidewalk. And mainly that's the delegated maintenance agreement is basically damage that happens. If the sidewalk basically is worn out or is completely fallen apart, then it's really on us to come in and replace it.
What about the liability factor?
So the liability factor, I'm not really certain on that. And then I brought Thomas with me. Thomas is our maintenance agreement guy for District 2. But I don't know, Thomas, on that one. Do you know that answer to that one? You gotta state your name.
Thomas Carey, District 2 Caltrans. I'm the maintenance agreements coordinator for the district. And there is a liability clause, whether the county or the local agency is self-insured or whether they're insured through a private indemnity. There is a liability that runs along with each agreement. So that would be the delegated agreement as well as the project-specific agreement for those other features.
So I'm to make sure I'm understanding correctly, the grant award in this agreement is contingent on county taking on state right-of-way maintenance project and liability for whatever happens on that project
for those,
now and future. Is that correct?
For those features in the agreements, correct.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions from the board?
the way you said that, it sounds like the project's not going to happen unless you take on the maintenance.
It sounds that way.
Is that true?
So that's not totally true.
If we can
just build standard sidewalk, and if you're happy with our standard lighting, so basically like the LED curb heads that we put on our at signals and intersections, and when we do lighting in our right of way, if you're happy with those elements for this project, we can probably live with those. We're not in the business of doing decorative lighting. We can't maintain stamped or colored concrete, right? So if we're willing to live with standard sidewalks, standard lighting, then Caltrans can probably agree to maintain those. It's just when we do the decorative stuff or the non-standard items, we can't physically handle that demand.
And that's part of what the grant is asking for, is that correct?
Yeah. And we don't typically do pedestrian lighting, so we'll do intersection lighting or areas where we have conflicts. That's where right now, like our current design standards, that's where we add lighting in our right of way. So like lighting a ped path, we don't typically do that in our right of way.
So this piece is pretty critical. I know it was previously stated you couldn't contract with the group tribe, but why couldn't you do this MOU with them?
So that we actually have a maintenance agreement with the Reading Rancheria in Reading. The problem is that our maintenance agreement with the tribe, they have to give up their sovereign immunity, and that I think that might be an issue for this project, for the Happy Camp project. But I know the Reading Rancheria did sign that agreement for the elements that they have on Highway 273 in Reading.
I don't understand that. They don't have any sovereign immunity within your right of way, do they?
So they do, yeah. So basically, if we enter into a maintenance agreement with them, and then they decide to not maintain these elements that they've installed, we have no recourse to get reimbursed if we go and remove the elements that they installed. So basically, that maintenance agreement we signed with the Reading Rancheria, they gave up that sovereign immunity. Mm-hmm. So if they don't hold up their end of the bargain, then we have a recourse to not only go in and rectify the situation, but then get reimbursed for our efforts.
So is this a maintenance agreement with the county, or is this an ownership agreement?
It's a maintenance agreement, yes.
So is the liability with the work that's done, or is it... I'm a little bit confused.
It can be both. It can be the work that's done, or if, say, there's a lip that forms and we don't get out and address it and someone trips and falls, then that's liability, right? So that's what we're talking about.
So then it comes down to whose work is it?
Yeah, exactly. So it gets messy.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That gets
messy. I
agree. Mm-hmm. So there have to be some really fine delineations as to whose work is it to fix what, and
yeah, but it's been working well in City of Reading and City of Susanville. I haven't really had any experience with Alturas. But the ones that we currently have, we don't really have any issues with them. And, you know, basically the local agency will go out and do the work, they bill us, they invoice us, and we pay them. So it's a good tool in our toolbox, and I know it's probably scary because you guys haven't experienced it. But we really like using the delegated maintenance agreements. It's been beneficial for both us and the local agencies that we work with.
So was this clearly delineated in the grant application?
I'm not sure.
And where I'm going with this is that we don't need conflict. And if we don't approve this, there's that potential for that. But yet it seems like the I's weren't dotted and T's weren't crossed before it arrived here. And I don't know that it should fall on this board to be
the bad guy.
Right. No, I hear you. So I guess it's about how much you guys are willing to take on for this. You know, it's really up to you. It'll be a good benefit for that community.
I don't think that. I think that's without question.
Yeah.
I think the question is, it's state right away. It's a state project. Go for it. I mean, we're not stopping you.
So that's what I'm telling you. I mean, basically, if you guys say that we don't want to do this, then we're probably going to end up with standard elements, you know, in our right of way and have camp.
Do we have a picture of what that looks like compared to just like in the Wairika project?
Yeah.
Do we have a picture of what that, Carrie? Do we have a picture of what that looks like compared to the pretty stuff?
Yeah.
Have we seen what that looks like so we can make an informed decision? I mean, we had all kinds of options to talk through. The city council had all kinds of options. We had meeting after meeting of, and decision after decision of, you know, red versus, you know, the brick versus the not, the red versus the not. Have we seen any of that? Is that up to us to decide?
Not for Carrie Maltz, Office Chief, Program Project Management at Caltrans.
How do you spell your last name? I'm sorry.
M-O-L-Z.
L-Z. Thank you.
We do have renderings of that. It's not with us here today because we weren't presenting it was not an item today. but it is now. we can supply that to the Board of Supervisors. And Catherine would be happy to do that. She's the project manager of it. And we can, the standard lighting and lighting that, from my understanding, a delegated maintenance agreement, or maintenance agreements of why we're asking our locals to look at sidewalks is within the streets and highway codes, the state is not supposed to be maintaining sidewalks. It's per the adjacent property owners. And that extends into the actual tax collector of the area, which extends to city and the county. So that's why we enter into maintenance agreements for sidewalks and other facilities that are not. So delegated maintenance agreements are, excuse me, wasn't expected that whole nerves. they're a little bit of a benefit if the county is supposed to be maintaining these. We're actually reimbursing you for the efforts of maintaining it. It is a benefit to the community. It's an overall enhancement to areas in your county. And it's an agreement where we can help the local agencies out with this task for items that are within our right-of-way that we are not able to maintain. Especially in the area of Happy Camp, we're very busy with rock slides and other things, and having the locals there to help out is a great benefit. If you are not in agreement with this, which is you're not alone, there are many agencies who don't agree with this policy, we as Caltrans will go back to the table and see what we can do. And we'll also work with the tribe to continue to enhance our community the best we can. But yes, at a later time, we will supply the pictures, the renderings that were probably at the open house.
Okay, so there is the option of just doing the basic project without all the pretty bells and whistles, extra stuff that we don't have to be responsible for, the maintenance part, that you will, that Caltrans will, or you will hire a different contractor or someone to come in and do the maintenance on. That doesn't leave the liability on the county. Is that what I'm hearing?
There is a possibility of that. Just to keep in mind, this is an active transportation grant, and there are elements to the grant that are enhancement to the community, too. The standard lighting or standard intersection lighting is not necessarily the pedestrian lighting that the tribe was hoping for. And as far as additional enhancements to sidewalk and beautification, yes, we could probably eliminate that, but again, it's not the enhancement of the grant application.
I sure would like to see those pictures.
What do you do at Highway 89 and McLeod on that intersection? Do you light for pedestrian there?
That's not pedestrian lighting, that's intersection lighting.
It's just intersection
lighting.
Yeah. And is Caltrans willing to indemnify the county for this project for liability future?
Well, we have an agreement with them.
With the
So the intersection lighting, we take, that's ours, right?
Yeah,
so,
no, if there's a slip and fall, if the county took this on to maintain it, will Caltrans indemnify the county for slip and fall liability future?
No, I think it's part of the maintenance agreement.
Okay.
for the maintenance that's outlined in the maintenance agreement, when there's the lips of 1 inch or more, it is up to the or less actually. It is the county's liability then to fix those things. However, I do want to make a statement for any design aspect. It's our design. We as engineers stamped it. That is on Caltrans. It would not be on the county if there was a fall or a fault in our design. And as it comes into a state of disrepair, it does become a rehabilitation, and that would be on the state.
I'm all over the place here with the details of this thing. Maintenance. I'm thinking snow removal, ice removal. We can't do that. I mean, we don't have staff to do that.
We understand because of the
support.
And I think I stated it's a capacity issue.
A money tree, you know, but we don't.
Okay. Well, what do we want to do?
I wish what I would have seen today. Because presentation is this is what they cover, this is what they want, and this is what Caltrans considers the basic project or whatever it is that we're talking about, and then this is what the total thing is and the difference between them. I'd also like to, get a little better briefed by council on what our liability is going to be.
I have not seen any contracts. But in regards to the discussion about the nuances of what they cover, what you might have to cover, just to be clear, if there's a slip and fall, everybody's going to be sued, and then you'll have to figure it out through the litigation process.
And there's no way to mitigate that in the MOU?
You can get indemnity, but you're still going to need
Well, at this moment in time, I'm more comfortable with letting the basic standard be this, what it is. I mean, to me, where's the crew tribe here to present one way or another? I get the liability. To me, it still comes down to a capacity issue and my public works director's recommendation, so that's what I'm going to do.
Direction to either to proceed with Caltrans negotiations or decline negotiations.
One motion would be to proceed with the standard project.
So decline.
So decline the negotiation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the greater.
Right.
Liability.
Is that a motion then? To decline.
Yeah, whatever that means.
We have a motion. Is that, are we covering where we need to go with that motion?
Angela Davis, County Administrator, I would prefer a motion just so that it's on record and it's official.
Right. And so the motion is to decline and to move on with the standard version that Caltrans would normally provide. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And a motion to that effect?
I'll second.
I have a second.
Time for a vote.
Yep.
Ready. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
I'm an aye, and I'm also looking to Caltrans in working with the group Tribe. One of their main concerns is pedestrian lighting. I know that, that they're off the beaten path, per se, and that the state of California might grant some type of an exception to get them where they need to go on that type of project with regard to pedestrian lighting. Thank you.
Take a break, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Sorry, Mr. Smith.